Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. We've got another great show. We've got Emilia Benz on our show again, and she was in our other show, but now she's going to grace us with her presence on the As You Wish Talk Radio. And she was born in Chile in 1966 to very politically active parents. Her parents fully supported, and her father worked with President Allende, who was overthrown during a violent coup in 1973. Which followed was the fracturing and devastation of the family. They eventually left the country, and she grew up in England during the 90s, moved to with her first 103 children to Dublin, Ireland, and went to college, graduated in communication studies. And she was in Ireland, was with a Buddhist group leader. There, I mean, there's all kinds of things. I can go on and on, but we all know Emilia, so I'm just going to go and get into the conversation here, because we have so much to share and so little time. So Emilia, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
Yeah, I think everybody knows who you are if they've been paying attention. So we'll go from there. The, you know, there's quite a few areas we can go in this interview. And I know most people are really interested in some kind of base stuff first about what's happening on the planet. There's so many stories about these higher dimensional beings, basically the Andromedans, that are coming in and closing down some of the bases, you know, that mm-hmm. are underground bases. And I've remote viewed some of those bases, and it is so, the energy is so ugly and unbelievably devastating what's happening, the experimentation, human experimentation, you know, taking people against their will, just all the manipulating factors. I'm curious, have you heard anything about that, or do you know anything about that ongoing process that seems to be going on?
Yes, I have. With regards to the bases, I also did some remote viewing a few months ago, and indeed I saw that there was some horrible things happening in those bases. But what I saw was basically that it was being done by humans with alien technology. I don't know if that's what you saw.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Anyway, and it was like they had like it was even actually hard to get in there at a psychic level, because they had this wall of fear and horror that one has to get through before one can get in. Uh-huh. And then I heard a few weeks ago, I think it was somebody saying that the base had been taken out, and there's several tremors around. The world had been felt that were in fact bases being taken out by some other white hats or other supported by other beings. That's the only information I really have. And when I looked into it, it did resonate with me pretty strongly. I don't for 1 minute kind of subscribe to the idea that we're going to be saved by anybody. This is a collective, human collective decision of what happens on the planet right now, and it really is dictated by how everybody manages their emotional and mental bodies, you know, as a collective. And with regards to the bases, actually only a few days ago we felt some tremors here in Sacramento about 11 o'clock at night, and it was a very quick tremor. I mean, I grew up in Chile when I was little. I was in Chile for 2-3 years when I was an adult, and I've been in earthquakes, and they don't happen that way. It's not like just one little thing like shakes you and then goes away, you know. It normally has a prelude of little tremors. Even if you don't feel it, the animals around you will feel them, so your dogs will start barking or howling, and cats will go crazy and stuff, and then it will happen, even if it's a 3-point-something or 4-point-something. And then you'll have aftershocks. Well, with this one the other day, there was nothing. just came, boom, 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 and it went. And when I looked into it, I thought, oh my God, it feels very much like another one of these spaces has been taken out, you know. I wasn't sure because I wasn't really tapped into it, and that's not really my work here, right? Mm-hmm. But I do resonate with that a lot, and I mean, from my own scene, I could completely agree with what's happening there, with those people who are reporting that these bases are being taken out.
there's something I've been following, and one thing is they talk about this massive base in Texas, and somebody sent me this email about this massive base in Texas. Well, you know, about a week later, Texas has this another one of those short burst earthquakes. No beginning, no end, just short burst earthquake. And yeah. And I go, well, now that's interesting. And I said, well, what about the one in England? I wonder, that's one of the nastiest ones that they need to deal with, you know? And sure enough, boom, all of a sudden England has this quake, this short burst quake. And I'm going, you know, this is getting a little weird here, you know? This is like, and so you hear all the stories, and there does seem to be a lot of cooperation on them. You know, I would, you know, I feel the same way you do. I would like to believe that we are getting some help here, you know, on high, but basically it all boils down to personal responsibility.
Absolutely, yes. And the thing about what I have noticed most is that when people kind of go into this new paradigm, one of the resistances that I've seen is the fact that now we can actually behave and decide and act as a collective. So we can actually unite at a psychic level with other beings, other people, other individuals, and put in our vote or actually make things happen in our own timeline. And one of the things that happened was to say, yeah, we want help with this thing, you know. And but it is at that level, it's not a savior coming in, but it's an allowance and allowing. Because for me, when I look at the other entities, the extraterrestrial or ultra-dimensional beings that are around the planet, they're not gods, they're not saviors, they're not angels. They're actually cousins and brothers and sisters. We're all genetically connected, you know, and consciously connected as, and the collective goes out. So it's part of like our relatives, whether they're in the light or the dark, it doesn't really matter. They're all cousins.
I know the a lot of the if you talk to, you know, those who can actually talk to these ultra-dimensional beings or ascended masters or whatever, that's their whole story. They said, look, don't worship us, you know, don't, you know, we're just here to assist you to become like us and to evolve and move to the next level, but we're not here to be the go-between between your own personal God connection and we're not here to do everything for you. And yeah,
Exactly.
and they make it very clear over and over. And I love that old saying, God helps those who help themselves. And
Yes.
so people that are on that journey, that are on that forward journey, there's a lot of help as long as you initiate it and that you're doing all you can on this level to make it happen.
Absolutely, and that's the key, what you can do at this level to make it happen, you know. It's like you're the only person, we are the only person that can raise our own vibration. We can't go to somebody else to do it for us. It's like
There's not a drive-in, there's not a drive-through enlightenment stand somewhere that we can
no
pay
magic
enough
pill, you have to
money,
do it yourself.
pay enough money and become an avatar.
Right. And it's funny because I get a lot of emails, people saying, raise my vibration, you know, help me. And it says, read the website, you know, use it yourself, help yourself. This is what it's about, you know. It's not about looking to, for externals, but actually taking things that resonate with us, tools that resonate with us, and raising our own vibration, you know.
I would say it's all about, you know, when a master appears to you or an ultra-dimensional being, you know, pops into your living room, you know, it's all about just saying, hey, what's up?
Yeah, invite them
You
to
know,
tea.
yeah, don't hit the floor on your knees and
Absolutely.
don't run out the door because a light being just appeared in your living room. It's,
Yeah.
you know, you got to greet it evenly and equally,
Absolutely.
or it's either going to be a it's not going to be a good encounter, basically.
Yeah, that's right. And it goes for other beings as well, because I know that there's some extraterrestrial people who are interested in real estate on the planet.
Yeah.
And they will come in and kind of pretend to be deities, you know, and many people's reaction to them would be, oh my goodness, this is a very kind of amazing being, so I shall do what they ask me, when in fact, you know, they're just pulling one over you know.
Yeah, that happens a lot. I know the you know, concerning the grays and the reptilians and everything, I always say that's a really gray area, you know, because some seem to be helping in some way, and some are very self-serving and manipulative. And if you don't know what you're doing, and if you can't stand in your own self-authority, they just will, you know, play you like a puppet.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah.
And that happens a lot, you know.
It does.
And I see people, I said, you know, there's no saying we say just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened.
Exactly.
And just because you're an ET, it doesn't mean you're benevolent. You know, you're here for our highest and best good. But, you know, there are a lot of people that get very angry if you say anything concerning, you know, ETs with a self-serving agenda or anything other than benevolent. What would you have to comment on that?
I think they should process the anger.
Yeah.
Process the anger, because this, as soon as when we get angry, and this applies to me as well, when something makes me angry, I have to say, okay, where's the anger there? And then behind the anger, normally there's a fear.
Yeah.
So basically the basic energy that pops up once anger and, like, you know, judgment and everything else, it's an energy of fear. So if you want to cut all the in-betweens, we'll go straight, okay, well, let's look for the fear. But sometimes we're so angry that we can't even reach the fear, you know.
Oh, boy, I've gotten emails like that where people just go off and go ballistic. And, you know, they said, everything is love, everything is light, and, you know, you're being a downer here, and you're creating negative energy. And I just said, hey, I'm totally detached. I'm an observer, just observing, you know, this phenomenon of what's happening. And so if you're very angry and fearful, maybe you should track it back. You might have been abducted or trespassed on, or had a very negative past life experience with some warring factions, you know, or something of that level.
Right. Right. Or even just angry at the fact that there's darkness on the planet and goes into denial.
Yeah, true. You know, it's. I guess there's a balance, and without the darkness, you know, we wouldn't be evolving. We would just be like, you know, stuck in a rut. There'd be nothing to push us, you know, into moving beyond it, or transmuting it, or whatever.
Well, there's that path, but there's also, once you learn all the lessons, there's no reason for it to exist anymore, you know? All those lessons have been done, you know, and if a person has had enough of those lessons, then they can move on to a new experience, a new reality where they can experience different things that don't include suffering or darkness or fear, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think this is what we're moving into as a species. We're moving into a new experience of existing here on the planet that doesn't involve suffering or chains or, you know, sleepiness.
Definitely. You know, a lot of people will say, I've heard some very interesting comments, and I'm trying to think how to phrase this, but what they would say is that if it's in your reality, you created it.
But I have
a different opinion on that. I believe that, like, let's say some of these, if you take like the New World Order boys or this manipulation game and all these things going on, you know, I chose to incarnate. I will accept that. You know, I chose to incarnate during these times, and I chose to be a part of the awakening and healing process. You know, and things like that. But these things have been going on way before I came here, and since I left and came back, and they're still going on. And so they do seem to have a momentum or a reality with or without me.
Yeah, there's an agreed reality. That's what I was talking about before. It's like the collective agreement of reality. That's what we're moving into. But it's at the moment, I mean, up to now, it has been unconscious for the majority of the planetary people that live in here, right? Uh-huh. It has been kind of an unconscious choice to choose to incarnate and to experience a reality that has been already decided by others. Uh-huh. And the new one is basically we choose what it is. We choose what we experience within it. And it's not something new. I mean, for example, I grew up in Nottingham, which is a city in England. Uh-huh. And when I was there, they were talking about Nottingham being the second most violent city in Europe. It was a very dark place. The energy was very, very dark. There was murders and rapes and God knows what else, assaults on the newspaper, like dozens of them every day. Maybe not dozen, maybe six or whatever. But you know, those were like pick them up on the paper, and everybody knew that it was an extremely violent place. Even the Romans, that are known to make straight roads throughout Britain, when it gets to Nottingham, it goes around Nottingham and then continues straight up towards Scotland, you know? So this was an energy that was there for a long time. And as I was growing up there, I used to live in one of the worst areas in Nottingham where the police would rarely go in because it was too dangerous. And I used to walk around and I at night, daytime, wherever, and I never saw anything violent, negative, nothing ever happened to me. And I didn't even know it was a bad location, except that it was kind of ugly. But it was like that, you know, it's like we, even though we can move into a reality that is extremely dark, if we don't agree with it, that darkness doesn't actually touch us. You know, it's kind of it goes on like that at a global level. But I do believe that if something comes into one's consciousness, it's not so much that we created it. It could have been created by others. But then we have the choice. We have a choice to either agree with it or disagree with it because it has come into our consciousness. For example, if somebody who's been abusing another person and that person, so they're stuck in a kind of abuser victim relationship, comes into my awareness or my life or my consciousness, that means for me, from my perspective, it means that they came into my consciousness because they want to stop that, right? They want their vibration to move on. And, you know, it's like if I see somebody beating somebody up, I will call the police, you know, I will stop them. It's not about being passively looking, but once something comes into our awareness, then we can do something about it. Then we are part of it more than we created it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I see the whole collective consciousness right now with the, you know, Occupy Wall Street, and now it moved on to occupy the world, basically, and now it's occupy your heart.
Very
I
good.
love the evolution of this and where it's
Yeah,
going.
that's really good news. I didn't know how it had evolved. This is good news. I like that.
Yeah, and so it's interesting that the where it's going right now, and I just see, you know, we really need to call this, you know, Occupy Sovereignty Movement, or where people, you know, reclaim their sovereignty
Exactly,
and their
yes.
choices, you know, their choice to, like you're saying, disagree and say, I'm not going to participate in this, and be enlightened as to what they're participating in, because I think that's the big picture is that people were like lemmings, you know, they're being led off this cliff.
Exactly,
And they didn't
yes.
even know they're being led off the cliff, and they didn't even know the world in which they lived were just, you know, a bunch of mind-controlled sheep going off the cliff.
Right.
And so all of a sudden they're waking up and they're going, wow, there's something's wrong with this picture. They don't know exactly what it is,
Yes.
but they know something's wrong. And then all of a sudden they're starting to figure out what it is just by looking at, you know, all the people losing their homes and losing their jobs and all the other things going on. You know, they're starting to look for a source for all this and who's, you know, who's really behind this despite all the political, you know, nonsense going on. And I think ultimately, you know, if they take it to the top, which is where they're going, they'll find out who, you know, just a few men are responsible for this whole mess for quite some time.
Yeah. And
And
the masses for agreeing with it.
yeah, that was my next step would be for participating, yeah, agreeing and participating in it. So,
Exactly, yeah.
and that's what I'm seeing right now. It's like, you know, I think with Obama bringing the troops home supposedly from Iraq, I know there's going to be you know, a massive amount of what do you call them? I don't know, the paid soldiers, not the regular soldiers, but left back to keep control of the place. But it's quite interesting when you look at that. I think they're finding it harder and harder to find people that are going to participate in these wars and these, you know, gold and oil and land grabs that are going on, and they're waking up. The troops are actually waking up from the inside.
Yeah, I think so too.
But
Yeah.
did you see the New York one where this one guy came back? I can't think of his name. Solomon or
Oh,
something?
yes, I saw
Oh boy, I
that.
got tears in my eyes, you know. When that guy stood up and was just saying, "What? There's no honor in this. What are you
There's no
doing
honor,
here?"
yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and here's one of the most, decorated warriors right off the front, saying, "What are you doing?"
Yeah.
But to me, when they, I just, I look at, it's hard to not step into that. But when you see them macing and clubbing, young women, and things like that, I don't want to jump into the victim, savior, persecutor triangle thing that's going on,
Yeah.
But and knowing everybody's co-creating that reality for some reason, but and playing a part. But I thought about that. What a beautiful part to have that on film and then have that going all over the internet
Yeah.
and just showing how unjust this whole thing is and the consciousness behind some of it, how brutal it is
Right.
on keeping the control lids on.
Yeah, and one thing to remember, and I was talking to somebody about this recently, when people in the elite or whatever sending the troops, it's not really at one level it is a social thing because like control thing, but they can actually sometimes they even avoid coming to an agreement or doing things at a peaceful way because they've been using energy work for thousands of years, and they have used energy work to stop things from being born, to stop light from to stop people going into their heart center through violent means. And when they do kind of go in with the troops and start beating up women and children, then people will react immediately with that warrior instinct of defense and anger, and then that's when the focus is taken out of the heart and into a more basic animalistic level. And I can see that, for example, like you mentioned in my bio, I was born in Chile in 1973. There was a very, very violent, bloody military coup paid by the CIA and others. And they didn't make an secret of it that it was they didn't make a secret of it that it was them who paid for it. And they didn't have to do it because the president was only I think was on coming into his second what's it called term, and they can only be elected for 2 terms or something, and then he would have been replaced
Oh,
by
yeah.
democratic means. So they really didn't have to do anything. He was going to go out of power anyway. But they really needed to go in there and stop something happening. And what was happening, and I lived through those years, what was happening was this amazing birth of creating something beautiful on the planet. And idealists, artists, writers, musicians were flocking into Chile in 1970 to 73. And they were creating the most amazing thing. The energy there was something that I haven't seen since. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. All these people were making things happen at a ground level, making a new society. And they had to stop that. They had to stop that energy. They had to stop that heart. And they did it and they killed and murdered very brutally in front of everybody, several artists and musicians and people, and grabbed others, destroyed them through torture, and then released them into the public so they could see that they were broken people. And it was an energy thing. It wasn't political, you see. It was not political. Even as a child, I could tell there was something wrong. It wasn't right. And people kept saying, "Oh, because of the communist socialists, whatever." But it wasn't. It wasn't. It was an energy battle. It was like a blood sacrifice at a planetary level. And the coup in Chile happened in September 11th, the date. Yeah, September 11th, 73 is a date that is used by the dark forces to make blood sacrifices, and it really kind of stabs the collective heart. And they did. They hijacked that movement, and it stopped the whole wave of an awakening throughout the planet for many, many years. You know, it didn't start really full speed ahead again until the 90s, I think, late 90s or something. So, and when I see these things happening on the television, when they see the brutality and things, that's what they're trying to do. And if we defend ourselves, for example, if somebody is in that situation and they see somebody being brutally attacked, just stand in front of them, but don't defend, don't attack, don't try to stop, because as soon as we do that, we enter their game, we enter their energy. We just have to stand as ourselves, and like you said, sovereign. This is what I agree with, this is what I don't agree with, and you can't pass through here, kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, you can imagine like one of these incidences and everybody just surrounding it till you have a sea of people, and then what do you do? You know, it's
Exactly.
like
Yeah.
there's
How
nowhere to
many, I
go.
mean, if they strike you down, let them strike you down. You know, how many people can they take us? You know, how many people can be struck down before even the soldiers, be even the police will say there's something wrong here, something will get through to them.
Oh, yeah. I think Gandhi had the right approach, but I mean, he sure took a lot of hits, and so did his
Exactly. And it's hard, you know, because for example, for me personally, it's really hard because I have a warrior kind of genetic material and mentality. And for me, if I see somebody being attacked or I'm attacked, it's really hard just to stand there in my light and just be, you know, and not accept the challenge, not going to that energy, that low level vibration. And it's another level of seeing it. And of course, at a practical level, we have to say, well, you know, let's process that anger, you know. It really is, it's a battle of energies. Even at that level, even when they hit people physically, it's an energy battle.
You know, it's too bad. I mean, we do have laws against that and rules and regulations. You know, we supposedly are supposed to be this advanced civilization, you know, one of the most advanced ones in America on the planet. You know, everybody looks up to us, supposedly. And now the rest of the world is basically looking down at us, and we are becoming a third world country. We're right not too far away from that ourselves. And you know, it's sad that we aren't you know, really adapting these universal laws and enforcing these universal laws, and that our you know, our Justice Department and our enforcement agency, all of these aren't coming together with some universal law or protocols that, you know, where love is the ultimate power, love serves, and we're not here to oppress or harm or anything else, and then deal with just those who are harming and suppressing, which is them.
Right. Yeah. But I think it will happen. I mean, I've always said it was not going to happen overnight, but it is happening. And like you said, I mean, the troops are waking up, you know. And I think the people here that in law enforcement and stuff, they'll start waking up too, you know?
I think it's happening within the ranks as
Yeah.
well. I noticed that I guess yesterday was the end of the Mayan calendar, according to Carl Coleman. Do you know much about that,
Yes,
or
yes.
have you followed his work?
I have a little bit. I do agree with it. I do believe it was the end of the Mayan calendar yesterday. And happy new Mayan calendar day to you, Jay. So it's like, yeah, we start again, right?
Yeah, I told everybody this morning, I said, well, it's good to know you're all wretched sinners, because if you weren't, you would have ascended on the 28th, you know.
Yeah, I don't think it was meant to be that way though, but
No,
it
I
is
know.
a big awakening that's happening. And did you hear about the 13 skulls and the Mayan elders that were coming through the United States?
Actually, I used to have one of those skulls. I have the one
Wow.
that's called Polly. And the woman that owned it was having a lot of trouble with it, and it was bringing up all her issues, and she was having some serious problems. So they decided to bring it here, and we did a lot of ceremony with it, and we had to do a major cleansing and take it through the four elements. But I mean, it was an amazing process when we did that, because we were actually altering the weather. It was creating
Oh,
earthquakes.
fantastic.
It was unbelievable what was going on with that skull. But unfortunately, she came back and you know, made a big stink and threatened legal stuff and everything. I just gave it back to her. I said, you know, I don't need it. I don't need this. You know, I have my own crystal skull, you know,
right.
between my shoulders. And so I let it go. But I kind of really had to. It wasn't worth all the battle, you know, and the problems that came with it. But it changed. It was actually a very dark amethyst skull.
Mm-hmm.
And when it left, it was kind of a golden color. It was very light.
Wow.
It was a whole different
I mean, that's one of the thing about these skulls is that they can be used. They're just technology. They can be used for anything, right? Mm-hmm. It's like a knife. You can cut somebody with it, or you can make your dinner with it.
Oh, yeah.
It's a tool. And with the 13, I mean, the Mayan elders are going to bring them right across America, mm-hmm. The United States of America. And they started yesterday, I think, the 28th. And it's very, really important to, when looking at their situation, to send light and love and support, you know, uh-huh. just lots of light, so that it works out, so it happens in the right way. And it wouldn't surprise me at all. And I think there probably is plans to hijack the thing by creating fear events within the next few months, you know?
Yeah. One thing about the Mayan skulls I noticed is that there is a lot of, showmanship around that stuff
and
a lot of ego and things like that, which is sad.
I've
seen that, but you know, hopefully everybody can just get dropped back down into their hearts and mm-hmm. really do what's right for the planet and get them to where they need to go. Versus doing the me and mine program and I'm the keeper, you know, of the skull and all that stuff. Because that's, I ran into some of that stuff.
That's been happening, yeah. The thing is, though, sometimes because this is an exercise they're doing for the masses, mm-hmm. sometimes the masses, that's what they need. They need a kind of ritual and some sort of thing, you know.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, we really don't need any skulls. We don't really need objects mm-hmm. outside of ourselves. We don't even need somebody else to do it for us. But as a global level, it's baby steps. So I think this is one of those baby step things, like a ritual to show what's happening.
Yeah, I was talking to Brooks Agnew, who is setting up that journey to the inner earth. Actually, he's got a Russian icebreaker, and he's going to go to the opening, you know, for the inner earth.
Oh, really? Oh, that's fantastic.
It's kind of interesting. And he came here, and the mountain that we live right next to, this beautiful sacred mountain, Mount Adams, and it has a door, this huge
cool.
light door that opens up. And he was sitting out in front of it, and this beam came out and hit him and just lit his whole body up with all these glyphs and maps, and it was amazing. And he had complete transformation.
I love it.
And then so afterwards, we're going, well, why do we need to make this journey? And what they were saying was the journey is for the masses.
Yes,
so
that's right.
So you can, you know, advertise or televise this thing, show the whole journey, give them, you know, the little symbols and images they all need to find agreement.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
And I go, well, I'll just walk up and go in the door here.
Yeah, exactly. You can, you know, that's the whole thing.
Although they haven't opened it yet for me.
Right.
You know,
they,
I've been up there and I've felt the energies and things like that, but they're just saying, you know, if you came in now, we couldn't get rid of you and you have a lot more work. So, which is true.
You still have a work to do here, so
I wouldn't be coming back.
That's funny.
You know, I'd be hanging out with a bunch of fifth dimensional blissed out, you know,
right? Yeah,
beings and elves and things like that. I would be really hard to come back and deal with the human program here.
Yeah, it's a difficult place to be. I agree.
But I keep telling myself, you know, it's because I had my own near death experience and crossed over, and then went into that golden plan of bliss mm-hmm. and came back and I had to keep reminding myself, you chose to come back.
And you think, why did I choose it?
Yeah, I question that. I know it's the right thing, you know, my core issue, I know it was the right thing to do and everything, but then this little, every once in a while I just go, what was I thinking?
And I
decided to come back.
It's
quite interesting because I'm seeing this movement now, the Occupy the Planet movement, and they're starting to figure it out. They're starting to figure out that, you know, they've been whacking at the toes of the dragon, And now they're starting to figure out who's the head of the dragon, and it's evolving to that level, which it needs to. And I noticed the heads of the dragon, are actually trying to, give the New York Police Department, millions of dollars to hire thousands of more troops to clean up,
Oh my
Wall
goodness.
Street, things like that. You can see, what it, which is actually bringing the bringing it home to them. It's like, that was not a real, that's just like putting your face on the poster saying I'm the target. I'm the target. But it's sad when you look at these guys, supposedly these New World Order boys or whatever, and some of them that I've seen, and I look at them, and this is just an observation, I'm not trying to go into judgment, but when I look at these guys, I don't see anything there as far as humanitarian or compassion, or they're just, they've sold their souls. There's just, there might be a little flicker of light there somewhere. I don't know where it is, but they are just pure control, power, and amassing wealth, and just nothing else there.
Yeah,
It's
that's true.
amazing.
Yeah, and a lot of fear as well. It's like they function and they live within fear.
I mean, they would have to be considering what they've done, and knowing there is a universal law or karma, whatever you want to call it. They would have to be, I mean, they've done so much damage to the earth and the people, and have harmed so many people that it's no wonder they're so fearful of the people waking up.
Yeah. And one of the things about them as well, it's like the ones that I've had contact with, is they think they have no free will, that they're serving something for the greater good, and they have to be dark because they have no choice. And that's a con, because every sentient being, whether human or ultra dimensional or extraterrestrial or whatever, that exists, has free will. And the thing is, they've been told you have no free will, and they believe it, But those are the more minion type ones,
I've noticed, they do have an agenda, and they actually, some of them actually think they're doing good,
I
by
know,
reducing
it's
the
crazy.
population to, getting rid of 95% of the people on the
Save
planet
the planet, yeah.
is a good thing in their mind. They
I
think,
know,
the way I
yeah.
see it, nature takes care of herself. I mean,
Oh, yeah.
and basically, when you go beyond your resources, nature takes care of that.
Right.
And we don't need to step in and start playing God, and do our thing. And I do think we need to be start being a little more responsible about living within our means and living within our resources and things like that. I mean, we can't just like, breed into oblivion,
Right, yes. And
so.
it's easily done. It's not that, I mean, there is free energy and technology, there has been for a long time. And it's just about matter of people saying, okay, I'll sign in for that,
Well, what I've seen is I see, like, if you go around the earth, fly over the earth, you'll see areas just, millions of acres of land that are supposedly desolate. I mean, there is nothing there. There's nobody there. Vast, vast areas. And my thing is, I've always felt, is that it's not a population problem, it's a consciousness problem.
Oh, absolutely,
And
yes, I agree with you.
yeah, and if we had the fuelless energy technology, we could drill a well and make a virtual paradise out of desolate land,
Absolutely.
and live. And if we built our structures like they do with earth ships and things like that, and underground, you could maintain, just a beautiful biosphere. And so it's all a matter of just education. We don't need to go in there and plow everything down, and they're doing that up here in the forest here. There, people want to come up and they go, "Oh, I want to live in the forest." And so they buy these parcels, 100-acre, 20-acre parcels, and then they log it so they can have a field for their horses. And I
Oh
just
my
go, I
God.
go, "Why didn't you go and buy a place that already had a field on it or a pasture on it? Why?" And they go, "Well, it's just me. I mean, there's forests all around me, and they're all doing it, so."
Oh God.
And then what do you call them? The lumber companies up here are just going nuts now and taking things down and then trying to parcel it off and sell it. They're cashing out, it seems like. And to me, you know, who wants to buy a clear cut piece of property that just, you know, when you're surrounded by beautiful forests, that, you know, it doesn't make any sense. But
no, it doesn't. But it is. It's like that, isn't it? The mentality of the old paradigm was very much self-serving,
uh-huh.
and without consciousness and owning, you know, owning and paying for living on the planet.
Uh-huh.
When in fact we're caretakers, we're part of the planet, we're an intricate piece of the planet, you know?
I don't know how many, I think I added it up one day and I think I've planted about 7,000 trees on my own ranch here.
That's fantastic.
And a lot of them didn't make it through the droughts and things like that. But,
yeah.
And you know, I'll take a tree we had about 6 big trees blow down. You know, nature provided our firewood right there for us. But I won't take down a live tree here. I'll just take the dead ones or the ones that are getting hit by pine beetle or something like that, and use them. And you know, I think using methods like that, that's kind of an extreme, but just select cutting, you know, maintaining the forest, still you can provide all your needs and still maintain, you know, a real healthy forest.
Yeah, definitely. And forests are alive and they're conscious. You know, you can tap into them and each individual tree will have its own personality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having that opportunity to be able to connect with that, if you have that in your land, it's just out there.
Yeah, I have some real old trees here on the land and they have names and we have conversations.
Yeah.
And,
exactly, yeah.
You know, before you say things like that, people think you're crazy. I mean, I had a horse that, you know, I would talk to her and all of a sudden I would hear her talk back in my head. First time it happened, it shocked the hell out of me.
I can imagine.
I was looking around for somebody like, what? I thought somebody was playing a trick on me or put a little, you know, speaker out there or something.
I love it.
Like, you know, my mind was trying to find any other reason for that.
Exactly.
Happening, you know? But if you do your homework and put your meditation time in and focus on that love and joy and bliss, that eventually you're going to realize everything is conscious, you know.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
And then you ask it permission, you know, when you work with it, you know. You know, with a horse, I used to, you know, go out and, you know, ask her, hey, you want to go for a ride, you know, and she didn't want to, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Wasn't feeling like it, you know, I wouldn't force anything on them, Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I think that whole new consciousness, that way of being, is going viral right now, and especially with the youth that are waking up. You know, I saw that one. You probably saw it. It's going all over the internet. But this guy's holding up this sign, and this guy looks just like a friend of mine that comes here to the ranch and does classes. And I have pictures of this guy appearing and disappearing. I mean, his body, you can see right through him.
Oh, cool.
But I can't remember the sign he held up. He says, he goes, can't we just figure all this shit out together? Like, you know, it was such a classic. It was such a classic sign. It just summed it all up. Like, okay, let's not create polarities. Let's not create, you know, againstness here, but there is personal responsibility that needs to be looked at, and we can solve it by all sitting down and working together. I thought it was just a really good sign. It just cracked me up.
This is good. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but it sounds really good.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. But this guy looks just like this friend of mine, and that would be exactly what he would do. You know, he would amazing guy. You know, but that's what it's all about, is figuring this stuff out together. What would you say to people that there are these people, it's just amazing, you know, like, let's say the people that are pouring champagne on the protesters, you know, up above and laughing, you know, that have this sense of entitlement. I mean, they actually believe that, you know, everybody is there to serve them and they're entitled to the whole pie and they'll throw a little crumb to others.
You know, that sense of entitlement, that's a really good sentence, and it's something that's been in my mind for a few weeks now. And it's everywhere. It's everywhere. You can see it everywhere. For example, little things that people have this sense of entitlement and they don't think about others. For example, I was at a crossroad and this couple started crossing the road and they were going like, I don't know, really slowly, chatting away, talking to each other, and they had stopped the entire traffic, you know, to get across the road. And that was a sense of entitlement. So it's not something that's just the elite has, but it's even ordinary folk in the street have a sense of entitlement, or, you know, going, pushing in on somebody's lane and whatever. It's that sense of entitlement in the stores. You can see it everywhere. And where does that come from? Where did the disconnection come from, where they don't even see other people, so they see others perhaps as competitors, or you know, it's very strange. One of the things I noticed, it particularly with people crossing the street, because when I lived in the UK, I was growing up in the UK, if you're going to cross the street, even though the person would have right of way, you'd hurry up so that you could, you know, just for a kindness kind of thing, you know, goodwill, to allow the traffic to continue. And if you were driving, you would actually stop for others so that they could cross the street or whatever. And I don't know if it's still like that. It probably isn't. That's why I noticed that that didn't exist, doesn't exist where I live here in the United States right now. Then I started seeing it in other areas. And somebody said to me, it's like Lucia Renee actually said, that's this, like the sense of entitlement, you know? And so it's not really just the elite, it's everybody that's carrying that sense of something. And when I look at it at an energetic level, there's anger there, there's arrogance, there's, you know, what is it? You know, let's have a look at that kind of thing, you know? How do we personally feel entitled? Because entitled, feeling that sense of entitlement is not the same as sovereignty. You know, I agree, I disagree. It's different, you know? One of them has integrity. One of them is impeccable. Mm-hmm. And the other one is just angry and mucky and angry.
I lived in a small desert town, was raised in Apple Valley, California. I don't think it's a small desert town anymore. It used to be. But, you know, there, you know, you saw somebody across the street, you know, and everybody's going, hey, Bob, you know, and waving, and, you know, your car breaks down, you have four or five people there to help.
Exactly.
Everybody knew everybody. Everybody kind of watched out after everybody. And, you know, it's like they've had a very good program, you know, that took care of the elderly, and it was a really nice community, you know, a very, very, just, you know, a very service oriented community, friendly community. And then I went from there to Orange County, and there everybody's separate.
Mm.
And I don't say everybody, that's kind of a big statement, but everybody, they don't even know their neighbors. They don't even talk to their neighbor right next door. Or it's all, everybody's into their own thing, and it's all about, you know, making the buck and you know, getting the fancy car and the big house and you know, being special, you know, so the heart energy just isn't there. And I was on a plane and I was flying in with these people next to me, and they're from some other country flying into Orange County, and they just said, they said. It's funny hearing some outsiders say that. They said, you know, this place has no soul. You know, there's no soul here. It's just so material and just so, they go, where's, you know, like San Francisco has kind of its soul, has a collective, you know, it's
right.
Like areas have this collective energy. You fly in, you can feel it. When you fly in some of these other places, it just feels dead in spirit, and it's just all about business.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad, but I know things are changing in these areas, but it is interesting how there are collective agreements, collective groups come to certain areas to just work on material things, and if you're a spiritual person, you really need to get out of Dodge and
yes.
find an energy that more resonates. what
That's
we are.
true. That's true. But always, as well as there's a lot of spiritual people who are going to these areas so that they can raise the level of vibration there, stabilize the area to allow it for the actual collective there to start raising, like everybody did come into this planet, they didn't need to. So there's that side too. But yeah, there is a time, I think, that an individual will want to connect with and live in an environment that's supportive to them and their energy, and that's very empowering at the same time.
Yeah, I'm ready for a vacation in the Pleiades.
Oh,
I think it's long overdue.
take me with you.
It may not be that far away. You never know the way things are unfolding. Yeah, this, going back to the Mayan calendar, I know that a lot of people sent emails and they said, "Well, so what happened? The Earth didn't end." And I told them, I said, "I'd love to get your take on that," because what I told them was whoever said it was going to end, we just said the calendar was ending. But I think these waves of energy, like the ninth wave of unity consciousness, are going to continue and even become exponentially stronger. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I was booked till 2017 to do this work, and I don't know what's going to happen after that. Maybe I'll be given another job, or maybe I'll retire and go. I don't know. But yeah, it's like, no, it's the whole work, the intensity of the work and the change is happening for the next few years. These dates do mark, they're very specific, do mark an energy shift, and it's palatable. On the night of the 27th, I crashed at 8 o'clock. I couldn't stay awake. And it's like, and the whole night was like very lucid. And then I got up, and the next day, yesterday as well, at 8 o'clock, I just couldn't stay up anymore. I had to go to sleep. It was like crazy. And I found that other people that I've spoken to had exactly the same experience. They didn't know what the hell was going on, Somebody even fell asleep on their sofa, trying
But
to
a lot
stay
of them are
awake.
waiting for some big monumental event. And I always tell them, I said, it's all about energy.
It is
You
energy,
feel the
yes.
energy waves coming through.
Right.
And then whenever you have a massive energy wave come through, you're going to have a little chaos after that as things reorganize and come back together. So it's usually a few days before or after these events that you see a lot of events unfolding. But I feel it's going to increase exponentially until the whole frequency of the planet has risen into where people have chosen to live in harmony with each other and the planet.
Absolutely, yes. Because it's like I said, we're moving into a different experience at a collective level. The collective and the planet have chosen already. They chose a long time ago what this new experience is going to be. And it doesn't include suffering. It doesn't include learning through pain. Pain is just going to be what it's supposed to be, a red flag, something that hurts. You look at it and think, okay, I have to take my hand out of the fire now. But it's not going to be that stuck, fearful energy anymore. It's going to go beyond that. What will we be able to do? We'll see, won't we? But it is about that unity, I think, the creation. There's two levels to it as I see it. One of them is that we manifest things very quickly that we want in our lives at a collective level and at an individual level. And then we also unite. We are able to more easily unite as a being with others. We still keep our own singularity, but we can unite at a psychic and energy level with others. And when we are start being able to do that, then we can do greater things. We can do huge things. And that's powerful stuff.
Oh
This is
yeah.
really powerful stuff. Very exciting.
I felt there's that, with these waves, there's this major time compression going on, and the manifestation process is just going off the scale, exponentially. And I know with this full moon going on right now, this new moon, not full moon, I mean the new moon going on right now in Scorpio, it's just digging up the deepest, darkest stuff for people to come up and look at. And I've watched that in my own process. I've been observing it, watching just these things. I don't know where they came from and memories. And I'm just going, wow, I thought that was, I thought that was done with. Where'd that one come from? And I've just been doing a real inner thing. And I'm seeing right now that people really need to give themselves the luxury of taking some time off, taking some time away from even their spouse or their mates or their environment,
yeah.
and maybe getting out in nature and taking some downtime.
Yeah.
And process, let this stuff go through you versus acting it out or projecting it or blaming somebody else.
Right. Because that's a really important point, a very important point. They may be triggered by the external things and people, but it's not to look and blame. It's about what are we feeling? What did bring up in us that we have to look at?
Well, I felt the lion inside of me just wanted to just go, scream,
yes.
you know, and stuff was coming up. And I go, you know, I need to tame this thing. I need to go out to the teepee or something and sit with this.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
I
sit with it.
To, yeah, unleash
allow
this.
It to express, allow it to be there and just see.
Else.
Look at it,
yeah.
you know?
And I think there is kind of a collective rage, you might say,
yes.
or that's happening right now, that those who are sensitive are feeling that.
Yes.
And some are helping the process, you know, to process that through. And I think in a way it's healthy because it is creating the changes that need to happen, but we also need to learn how to use that energy. Like in Tibet, they use that energy. Okay, I'm feeling this energy. Now I'm going to use it to do some creative good.
Exactly. I love it. Yes. Yes, that's exactly what we have to do.
In a different direction.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, we're running out of time here, but is there anything you want to leave the audience with or...
Just to remember that, again, the biggest secret is how that they don't want you to know, the powers that were don't want you to know, is how powerful and how powerful a being we are individually, how each of us is extremely powerful and able to create our own reality and able to say, yes, I agree with this, no, I don't agree with this. And yes, I want to create this. Mm-hmm. And also, we are, as a species, capable and able to unite with others at an energy level, telepathic level, and create greater, larger things, or explore, you know, explore greater and larger awareness.
And then, you know, also to add on that, I love what you say about just choosing not to participate in some of the negative stuff and just saying, I'm not in agreement with that, and have a nice day.
Yes.
or have fun with that one. See you later.
Right.
That's a good one. Well, anyway, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. And, you know, we'll make this available to you too whenever, if you want to send this out to anybody on your list.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Thank you, James. It's been a pleasure as it has been before as well.
Great. Yeah, we'll have you on again whenever you desire.
Fantastic. Will do.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show.
All right, bye-bye.
Good day. Well, folks, another amazing interview. Some real good information in there. We want to go ahead and close out the show here with a song I find is really interesting, if it does come up here. But I love this song because it's the end of the world as we know it, but there's a new world coming behind this one.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes and airplanes.